Awesome and holy God, we lifted our voices to you this morning and sang, because of your death, we are free. Because of your death, the veil was rent in two. We can now have access to you through your Son. We thank you for what was accomplished on our behalf at the cross. We thank you for what we have in Christ. I pray, Almighty God, this morning that your words would be heard, that mine would be lost, that you would be glorified. We do thank you and love you and ask all of this in your holy Son's name. Amen. So, before we get started, one of the things Jared said is our message would be from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm actually going to have you open to Ephesians chapter 1. For you that are here this morning, maybe your first time, maybe your second time, this morning's message is not a normal message. This morning's message is a topical message, and that's not our normal protocol. Normally, we are working exegetically through a book of the Bible. We are currently in the second chapter of Romans. And when I knew I was going to be in the pulpit this morning, I thought, we're going to be in Romans, and in the beginning of Romans, and it's a heavy place. So my goal this morning is to take us out of the heaviness of Romans for a moment. And I hope to encourage you this morning. Last Sunday, Cleveland and Pittsburgh played a game. I've accomplished. Yes, they did. That game ended at about 4:30. And approximately at 4:32, I had a friend call to make sure I was aware of the results of the game. And to be honest, if the game had ended different, I would have been calling him. We talk at least twice a year. Many of you find that funny because you know I'm a Steelers fan. That is maybe a piece of who I am. The very next day, we were having dinner with another couple to celebrate birthdays, and they gave me a 2-foot handmade gnome whose body was black and its hood was gold because that's Steelers colors, and they made the beard peppered gray to match mine. Both of those scenarios happened because they identified me as a Steelers fan. Furthermore, both of those are members of Faith Bible Church. They're part of our body. There are things that make us different. I'll come back to being a Steelers fan in just a minute. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, it says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. I'm not Paul, and I don't think this church is the church at Corinth. But Paul here is addressing a body of believers. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to address the body of believers. And there are many things I could say about this verse, but the first thing is he addresses them. He says, you have been sanctified in Christ. It's a done deal. They are already sanctified in Christ. And he calls them saints. Sometimes we don't feel like saints, but we are saints. There are over 160 in Christ statements in the New Testament. That's who we are. And I'm not going to have time to look at all 160 of them this morning. I've been looking at them for months. Before the elders' retreat, I had already started looking at our identity in Christ. That was my personal study. And I have 10 pages of in Christ statements. I would tell you it is a wonderful study to do on your own. It will do nothing but encourage you. My goal this morning is to encourage you and to remind you of who you are as a believer in Christ. And in light of that, challenge us to live like we truly are. Our Christian identity. And why is identity important? Listen to the people today. Identity is important. We identify in a lot of different ways. Some people will identify with their personalities. I'm a funny person. I'm a sarcastic person. I'm an easygoing person. I'm an anxious person. Others by their profession. I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm a steel worker. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Others by our personal backgrounds. I'm an American. I'm a schmucker. Or by our accomplishments. I'm an artist. I'm a musician. I'm an athlete. And sometimes we even identify with our failures. I'm clumsy. I'm divorced. I'm overweight. I'm awkward. I just never fit in anywhere. Identity is important. Sometimes we relate as a parent or a father or a mother or a child. And the thing is, our culture today is saying you can be anything you can imagine. I go into the office at work to grab paperwork to tell me what my next job is and what the parameters are. And I walk into the middle of a conversation between another employee and the supervisor. By the way, the supervisor is no longer with the company. But I heard the statement being said, I don't care if you identify as a potato, you need to go out there and do that job. So they were obviously saying they identified as something to get out of the work that was put before them. The mentality today is that I can be my own person. I can be whatever or whoever I want to be. And no one can stop me. And that sounds great, doesn't it? Until we have a pedophile who identifies as a 12-year-old. And we have a judge somewhere who agrees with him. Identity does matter. Because what we're talking about is what makes us who we are at the core, who we truly are, our true identity. For example, I opened with a football illustration. If I were bound on my knees with my hands behind my back and someone said, denounce the Steelers, or we'll cut off your head, I would be like, I'm not even a football fan anymore. I'm like, you can have my 7-foot inflatable Mean Joe Green. You can have my hoodies. You can have my jerseys. my socks, my ties, my gloves, my hats. You can have it all. You can even have my gnome. But that should be a different story. It should be a very different story, a very different situation. If I was in the same position and someone said, denounce Christ or I'll cut off your head. That's already happening in some parts of the world. We should be praying for them. And don't think for a moment that it can't happen here. Scripture tells us in the end times, they will actually be killing true Christians, and they will be thinking they are doing God a service. Beyond that, Matthew 10:33 tells us, but whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. The first time I read that verse, it changed me. The Carl paraphrase of that verse is if heaven isn't worth standing for, then don't expect to live there. Timothy Keller said, to have an identity is to have something sustained that is true of you in every setting. Otherwise, there would be no you. Who you are at the core. Who you truly are. And I want to refer back to a minute to who Paul was addressing as saints. That's who they are. Yes, I'm a Steelers fan. But something a long time ago, probably 40 years ago, something about who I was in Christ said, you will never see me wear Steelers clothes in the sanctuary as I'm worshiping my God with a body of believers, because I didn't want anybody else to identify me as somebody putting football above God. Now, that's my personal conviction. And I'm not saying, I know there are people wearing football things this morning. I'm very comfortable with whatever clothes you're wearing this morning, except maybe Mike. But that's my personal conviction. I wanted my identity to be something different than being a Steelers fan. And God impressed that upon me at a young age, and I'm actually very thankful for that. Lawson said to be in Christ, first of all, means that we have a saving relationship with Christ and are brought into union and communion with him in such a way that as we are in Christ, what is true of Christ becomes true of us. His grace and his resources become our experience and our possession. That's what it is to be in Christ. And I'm going to look at four different things, and I'm going to go through them quickly. I'm going to cover we are chosen, we are adopted, we are sons, and we are heirs from Ephesians chapter 1. A couple other verses, but you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And I have a real appreciation for Pastor Ray as he worked through Ephesians 1. There is so much that you can say about any one of those that you can literally take an entire week to cover us being chosen, or us being adopted, or us being sons of God. But I wanted to kind of put the whole picture together, a quicker overview. One Dutch theologian said it this way: all true believers are property of Christ, and Christ is the property of all true believers. Or sometimes as we sing it, I am his and he is mine. So with that being said, let's look at the first thing that is true of every Christian identity: who you are as a believer. We are chosen. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. I want you to notice first that we were chosen before the foundation of the world in him. Our position when he chose us before the foundations of the world were in him. There are people who get hung up on the fact that God chooses us. Because when we choose, usually it's all about us or what we think is best. We pick the best fruit to put in the grocery cart. We choose which aisle we're going to check out in. And it doesn't matter which aisle you pick, it never works out quite right. Even which kid we choose for kickball. We choose what we feel is going to be best, or it suits us best. And we should be absolutely amazed that God chose us. I know I am. I know the mess he called me out of. You could ask my wife. There is no good, logical reason why God chooses me or has chosen me. And I think some of that can be our hang-up in God's choosing, because we're so used to choosing what is good or what is best, and we know ourselves, and we have a hard time with God choosing us. But I think if we go back to that verse, in eternity past, God gave his son a people. Those people are you and I. And in the fullness of time, he would come to earth to represent us, both in his living and in his perfect life and in his dying and in his perfect atonement for our sins. That is what we're going to celebrate in a few minutes when we take communion. But do you remember what I said? He saw us in Christ in eternity past. Jonathan Cruz, a Presbyterian pastor, said, when God set his affection on us, he did so by selecting us and his son, his beloved son, with whom he was well pleased. And that makes us beloved sons as well. For what he saw in us was everything Christ one day would do for us. So when God chose what was best, he was choosing his son. That's our position from eternity past. And that should amaze us. God chose what was best because he chose his son, and that should amaze us, that our identity was in his son in eternity past. But our identity doesn't stop there. It says we're predestined for adoption. But before I get to the word adoption, I want to spend just a minute on the word predestined. Because people get hung up on that word too. R.C. Sproul said it like this. The very word predestined has an ominous ring to it. It is linked to the despairing notion of fatalism and somehow suggests that within its pale, we are reduced to meaningless puppets. A word conjures visions of a diabolical deity who plays capricious games with our lives. I think one of many people's hang-ups with predestination is that if we acknowledge God's sovereignty and that everything that happens is God-ordained, then I lose my freedom. That's not true. But sometimes we get this idea, or can have this idea, that we're just puppets on a string. Lorraine Botner, a Presbyterian pastor, in a book titled The Reformed Doctrine of Predestination, he says, "The true solution of this difficult question respecting the sovereignty of God and the freedom of man is not to be found in the denial of either, but rather in such reconciliation as gives full weight to each, yet which assigns a preeminence to the divine sovereignty corresponding to the infinite exaltation of the Creator over the sinful creature." Another Presbyterian pastor said, "The same God who has ordained whatever comes to pass has ordained our freedom. We can both be free, me and God. He is just freer. As a father and a child are both free, yet the father's freedom outweighs the child's. So does God give his creatures freedom within his own freedom." And we can think, if we were just puppets on a string, why would God make Noah do what he did when he got off the ark? Or why would David do what he did with Bathsheba? Or why would Paul do what he did to Christians? I think even Paul, after his conversion, later in life, said, "I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do." Can we resonate with that? I think if we're being honest, we can truly resonate with that. I think we don't have to go any farther probably than last week to resonate with that. God is not the author of sin. He may allow it. He may use it to conform you to the image of his son, but he is not the author of it. And perhaps this last week, you had anger that wasn't righteous. Or you weren't obedient to your parents. Or you had thoughts that were less than pure. Or perhaps you overindulged this last week, lacking self-control. And I'm speaking to me too, very much. We are freer than we should be, but we are not puppets on a string. Well, back to my outline. We are chosen, and we are chosen for adoption. Adoption is a matter of identity. It's who we are. Identity is a change in status. It comes with a name change. It comes with a new address. Let that sink in for a minute. Let me say it again. Adoption is a changing of status. It comes with a name change. And it comes with a new address. That's our identity. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him." We are children of God. Just like we are saints. It doesn't say you will become a child of God. It doesn't say you will become a saint. You are a child of God. If you're a believer today and your identity is in Christ, you are a child of God. It also says you are salt. It doesn't say you will become salty. You're light. You're light to a dark and crooked world. It doesn't say you'll become light. You are light. That is your position. We are saints. We are chosen. And we are adopted. I was born American, but in Christ, I'm much more than that. I'm a citizen of heaven. A band called Building 429 says it like this. They say, "All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong." The legal status of adoption should actually produce and strengthen a relationship. Much like marriage, which is a blend of both law and love, which should be in the law holds us together legally and should enhance and secure the love that we have for each other, despite the cultural viewpoints of today. And the legal status of adoption should grow that relationship. For we are adopted as sons. Galatians chapter 4 and 5 read, and that was the transition. I didn't make that very clear. We were chosen, we were adopted, and we were adopted to be sons. Sons. And I'll get to the importance of that in a second. Galatians 4:4 and 5 read, "But when the fullness of time came," when the fullness of time came, "God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." I'm going to stop there for a second. We're headed into the Christmas season. And I had originally thought maybe I should do something Christmassy. And since I chose rather to speak on our identity in Christ, I thought when I read that verse, I would share something I do at Christmas to set my mind on Christ. And one of the things I do is every year, I buy a new book on the advent of Christmas. There's a lot of them out there by good authors. Buy one. Read it through the holidays. Keep your focus. This world will look to destroy who you are as a person through the craziness of Christmas. Verse 5, "So that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So we are chosen. We are chosen for adoption. Adoptions as sons. And why is that important? Well, Paul wasn't writing from some chauvinistic or sexist way. He was making a point. Because in the first century, the Greco-Roman culture, as Paul wrote to the Romans, the Galatians, the Ephesians, adoption wasn't for the sake of the child. It was for the family. They would take a stranger and make him part of a family for the sole purpose of them being an heir. When there was no heir apparent, they would take a child and bring him in and make him part of that family. Adoption was a huge thing in that culture. Because if you were adopted, you were adopted to be an heir. That's why he refers to Christians that way. We are adopted as sons to be heirs with Christ. And as an heir, it means there's an inheritance. And the gospel, the glory of the gospel, is that we are all, both male and female, called sons of God. Which brings me to my final point this morning. That part of our Christian identity is that we are heirs of heaven. We are chosen, we are adopted as sons, and we are heirs of heaven. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Galatians 4:7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Ephesians 1, where we started, starting in verse 9. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth, in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who are the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Timothy Keller said, so for a child of God, there is confidence and boldness every day. We don't walk in fear of anyone or anything. Our Father owns the place. God will honor us as he honors his one and only son. We live with heads held high. Our sonship removes the fear of missing fulfillment or losing approval that is awesome, that is at the root of much of our disobedience. Isn't that true? Our God owns it all. And we don't have any reason to walk around like we're the most miserable people in the world. Matter of fact, we are the most blessed people in all the world. And the only reason we lose hope and walk with our heads down is usually rooted in our disobedience and our failures. We are the child of the King of everything. I have just two closing thoughts. The first is, identity is important. And in a culture that is longing to find their identity, beloved people of Faith Bible Church, we should walk out remembering who we are. You are a child of King, joint heirs with Christ. And as we interact with people, and the doors are going to be open because the holiday season is upon us, and those people who are frustrated and can't find happiness in gifts, in things, in stuff, we should be different. We are different. And the second is a little more sobering. For if you're here this morning and you don't have Christ, the future that awaits you is very different. You have a future of weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be no sense of family. You will be more alone than you have ever felt. Because not only will you be separated from everybody, you will be separated from God himself. So, if you are in that situation, I know my earnest prayer as I look out across this body is I have a relationship with many of you, some of them surface, some of them deeper. But we are a body. We are a family. And if you have a family member who doesn't know Christ, you already know what that feeling is. How much more with those people who have come in week after week and have been part of this body? And are not part of the family. So if you're in that situation, if you're finding yourself in that situation this morning, I would say seek me out. Or grab Jared in the meet and greet. Or any one of the pastors. Actually, we're one family. Grab the person next to you. And if they need help, they'll find a person who can help. But there is no relationship that is more important than having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And those of us that have that relationship, we should be excited today. We should be very excited. That brings me to the table. I started with being chosen in Christ. We are his son. We were a people given to his son. In an eternity past, when God looked at us, he saw his son. And his son came to earth to represent us. He came to earth for us. That is the holiday we're getting ready to celebrate. To celebrate God coming to earth. To pay for all the sins that I freely have committed. He came to live that life that I don't live. Because I don't live it perfectly. As we partake of the elements, we should be overjoyed at our position, who we are in Christ. I would ask Pastor John and Pastor Bruce, I believe, are coming up to pray over the elements and the faith worship prompters, if they would come up, and as we get ready to take communion, I would say, you do not have to be a member of Faith Bible Church to take communion with us, to be part of that celebration of who we are. You only have to have your faith put in Jesus Christ. And of course, we would say, to each of the parents out here, you know your children, and we would ask that you superintend your children as we partake of the elements. So with that, let me close in prayer. Awesome and holy God, in 30 or 40 minutes, we cannot even take in all of what we are in you. But I am thankful. I am thankful that I was chosen, that you have given me a new name, that you've given me a new address. I can't even fathom what it is to be an heir. But you told us that's who we are. We thank you for that. May we remember as we take the elements who we are and what you have accomplished for us. That you, Almighty God, would receive the honor and the glory. Amen.